Hi, my name's Pete Banton, and I'm the co-founder of the Awaken Life Project here in Portugal. And I'd like to welcome you to this new podcast, which is named after my recently released first book called The Fire of the Heart. In this podcast, I'm going to be exploring the nature of an authentic spiritual awakening and its potential implications in these tipping point times we are living through together. I hope that you will find these podcasts illuminating and provocative, and most of all, I hope that they'll ignite a big and potentially all-consuming fire in your heart. Boa tarde, everyone, from the mountains of central Portugal. It's a beautiful day here, and I hope it's a beautiful day wherever you are. And it's been a while since I did a podcast, and that's mainly because I was preparing for and then leading the Awaken Life Project's annual men's retreat, which was called A Strong Spine and an Open Heart. And this is a retreat we've been doing every year for probably 7 years now, 7 or 8 years. And in more recent years, it's an opportunity for all the men of the Awaken Life Project Sangha, who are part of our spiritual community, to come together for a whole week. And it truly was the most profound and powerful, ecstatically wondrous and beautiful communal experience of awakening that I have ever experienced. I mean, I knew it was going to be good, but it really was off the charts. We were all overwhelmed by extraordinary collective emergence that encompassed both the heights of ecstatic revelation of the One Self, of the Great One Being that we all are, and that kind of being expressed through a very vulnerable and deeply loving spiritual brotherhood. But at the same time, it also encompassed some periods of deep challenge, very raw, exposing dark patterns and conditioning to the light. It was very much like going through psychic surgery with one individual after another. So I've never been part of a collective emergence that encompassed so many dimensions of the human condition as this retreat. So in future podcasts, maybe I'll share some excerpts from that retreat and share a little bit about what we discovered and explored together as a group of awakening men. But for now, I'd like to continue on the theme that I really touched upon in my last two podcasts, which has to do with one of the great paradoxes at the heart of the awakening process, which is that on the one hand, as we authentically awaken and let go of our attachment and our compulsive identification with the historical personal self, we start to discover a profound peace. And as that peace and trust begins to permeate our being, we also discover a disposition in relationship to the world that is essentially at peace with whatever's arising. And despite all the highs and lows and the chaos and madness of the human world, we get in touch with a kind of equanimity that is able to transcend all of it and allow it all to be as it is, and that inherently understands that as painful as much of the human experience is, it can be no other way. And so an aspect of the awakening process is that it frees us from the world and from anxious, tormented struggle against or concern about what's arising in our shared world space. But then at the same time, and this can vary from individual to individual. If our awakening is truly deep and profound, sooner or later, we'll also come upon a great passion which arises from that pure beingness, or the heart, as I like to describe it, the heart with a capital H. And this pure passion is like a fire. It's both a fire of purification, and it's also a fire of creative passion that longs to bring into manifestation the prior truth of our unity and give rise to higher and greater potentials in the manifest world. So that paradox, one way to describe it, and I described it this way in my last podcast, is that on the one hand, most deeply, we're taking no position in relationship to anything that arises. And on the other hand, we're willing to take a position, because the truth is, if we're embodied here as an individual, we can't avoid taking a position in time and space. And we can pretend that we're not taking a position, but even that pretense will be a position. So that's the paradox, how to become deeply rested in no position, in no problem, in no fundamental judgment, and deep, deep, deep radical acknowledgement and acceptance of everything as it is. And at the same time, enact and make room for the transmission of love, of pure passion, of that creative impulse that arises in our hearts and potentially means that our minds, our heads, our hearts, and our hands can become an instrument of this higher power. Because consciousness isn't just peace and emptiness and eternity, it's also creativity, it's power, it's potent, and it is love. So to deepen that inquiry, I wanted to share with you an extraordinary teaching I recently came across from a great spiritual master called Adhidhar Samraj. And this is something he said in the last year of his bodily life in 2008. And soon after this, he passed. And I think it's a very pertinent message, particularly in our time right now, with all of the seething chaos and confusion and, like I like to say, tipping point times, feeling that's becoming heightened in our shared world space right now. So this discourse is called Renunciates and Heroes. So here we go. People are filled with illusions about what the world is about. Especially in the West, there is total ignorance of great matters. There is no esotericism at the root of Western culture. People do not understand where life comes from, where human beings come from, what they are all about. They think of it as some kind of pristine absolute here, like a clean slate, but it is not. All of conditional existence is a cause and effect process. Lifetimes are caused at every level of their manifestation. In other words, the human domain is a karmic domain. It is not a place of absolute souls or absolute clean slate entities being born, and then the world is what you make of it. It is already limited to begin with. Most human beings are born in this world because they are already bound. They are born as a result of their bondage. Their lifetime has already been caused by previous action, and so their birth perpetuates a bondage game. Those who become aware of this process at least in their own case, are involved in a different kind of life. It is this understanding that is at the root of renunciation. It is actually amazing to see the degree of insistence on bondage in this world. No matter how much revelation, gift, and opportunity human beings are given, bondage is still chosen again and again and again. This is your experience. Because of this insistence on bondage, human history has come into its end time. There is just so long that the choice of death, bondage, and ignorance can repeat itself and not generate disaster. Sooner or later, it generates disaster, and that is what is happening. It is a dark effect of the repetitive activities of ignorance and bondage. Therefore, rightening of the world is the effect of the emerging of renunciates and heroes. The combination of these two can change historical momentum. But where is this emergence? I am calling for heroes to appear, or those who can, in the circumstance of leadership, make changes in the active context of the life of human beings. I am calling for renunciates who can make changes relative to the fundamental ignorance of human beings, beginning with themselves as individuals. I am calling for renunciates and heroes. Do not plan your householder self-fulfillment in this world. Nesting, as if you are not in a domain of karmic life, made of bondage and enforcing bondage. Instead of living in this idealistic illusion that life is about some kind of created design of fulfillment for egos, realize where you are. Do not settle down. Wander about. Become a renunciate. This is a calling that has been current among human beings for literally thousands upon thousands of years, from before recorded history, which is a short period of time, really. People do not even know about the past history. It is completely forgotten. People do not even want to accept that it exists. The Vedic Dharma of India, for example, is many tens of thousands of years old. This is not simply something from the last 5,000 years or so. The earlier history, the unrecorded part of it, is lost, so it seems like mythology. People think everything about civilization is about 4,000 years old. However, that is a naive view, and it is not true. Renunciants and realizers have always called upon people to not make their nest in the world. Do not lay up your treasure here. Wake up. Transcend this world. That is a root calling to human beings that has been going on since unrecorded time. It is the least interesting of all religious messages to the common world of common egos. Common egos want to hear about some kind of process, some kind of progressive technique, something to listen to while you still indulge yourself or make modest little changes, while you are told everything is going to be all right and are given some helpful futuristic dogma or spiritual teaching. The common ego does not want to hear. Leave your home as quickly as possible. But that is the true message. This is a karmic domain. It is happening because of ignorance. Your bondage here can be transcended. Do not make a nest here. Do not believe in utopian dogmas. Understand and transcend. Now, this ancient message is not a political message. It does not deal with the current mess in the human world. The message that is about dealing with the mess in the world is for the heroes. The message to the heroes is to surrender to me and fight. And just as an aside, that's a reference to the Bhagavad Gita and the famous story in which Arjuna is just about to go into battle. And he turns to Lord Krishna, his master. What do I do? Because he's actually going to have to fight people of his own caste and family. It's a civil war that's breaking out. And Krishna's instruction to Arjuna is surrender to me, obviously the me meaning the absolute spiritual reality, and fight. Do your duty. Do what you are called to do. Therefore, there are two great callings. One is that calling in response to which people become renunciates. The other is that calling in response to which people become heroes. Both of these groups are, relatively speaking, small numbers. The big numbers are everybody else. Everybody else is not profoundly responsive altogether. They tend to function more like a herd. But they can be led. They can either be led by people who are true to truth, or they can be misled by liars. Renunciates and heroes must be true to the truth and lead the people. But you cannot rightly lead the people by supporting their illusions. Renunciates relinquish all illusions and all speech that supports illusions. Heroes surrender to truth, surrender to the divine reality itself, and embrace the righteous cause of Dharma, of lawful existence, and of the rightening of the human course. This is the teaching that has always been given. This is the divine teaching. That is what anybody who is going to serve the world rightening must do. You have to leave your home. You have to get out of your self-satisfied, ignorant position and either enter into the domain of renunciation or the domain of righteous action. Neither one of which allows you to have a home in the conventional sense. You cannot be a renunciate or a hero and have an ego-based life. You must stand in the domain of truth, which is homeless in this world. You either serve it as a renunciate serves it, or you serve it as a hero serves it, and everybody else must be rightly led. The hero must be righteous, reformed in his or her own person to begin with, and committed to truth, and leave the home and enter into the field of heroism. That kind of action which does not make room and place and time for the conventions of ordinary self-fulfillment. It is a discipline of life that the hero must embrace. The renunciates have another sphere. It is the set-apart or holy sphere in which there is the intensive discipline of the ego-transcending way and the process of divine reality realization intensively lived. That is their discipline. Both those who are the renunciates and those who live in the heroic domain otherwise instruct everyone else and guide and lead them. That is part of the function of such people in both cases. Both the renunciates and the homeless heroes have an instructive or leadership role, a guidance role to play in the world. To everyone who would function in truth, I am calling them to leave their homes as quickly as possible, meaning leave your home today. I am calling everybody to leave their home today. Become a renunciate today, or otherwise enter into the heroic sphere. The life of self-fulfillment is over for you. That is an illusion in this world. That is not what this world is about. The domain of realization, of truth itself, is divine, not this world. You can live a right life and a life of realization, a life of service in this world, but you cannot be fulfilled in this world. This world is not an end in itself. It is not utopia. It is not the product of some pure impulse. It is the product or the effect of bondage, of ignorance, of illusions, of pattern. It is a machine of self-perpetuating bondage. It is simply an apparent modification of that which is divine. The divine is always here. It is the context of existence, and it can be realized. The divine can be served in life without deluding yourself through idealistic notions about this world being the place of ultimate fulfillment. It is not a place of ultimate fulfillment. Yet there is a Dharma, the way of truth, to be applied in the domain of action and in the domain of renunciation, coincidentally. Sinya, of course, is the domain of renunciation, but not in any exclusive sense. It is that domain that informs the heroic domain and the life domain and gives it guidance and blessing. Those who would be active have to get out in the world and handle this business out there on the battlefield, where the world is about to enter into darkness. And just want to note that this was in 2008. Therefore, there is a heroic calling in this end time to prevent this collapse of the world in absolute darkness. The world is not an illusion, in the sense that it is some sort of a horror that you should just abandon. You are doing it. You are completely responsible for it. You do not have to appeal to anyone or any force outside yourselves to deal with this matter. So there you go. That's a very powerful message, I'm sure you found it so. And so I encourage you to lean into that paradox of renunciation versus heroism, or the pole of awakening, which is really about freeing oneself from all the highs and lows and attachments of body, mind and world. And the pole of awakening, which cares deeply and perhaps very urgently about the life process as it appears to us. I can say from my own understanding and experience so far on this journey, to me that is one of the greatest paradoxes of all. It is so compelling. And although both of those poles sound contradictory, appear to be contradictory to the mind, one can ongoingly discover oneself inhabiting both poles of that paradox simultaneously. Perhaps at times one pole more than the other, but they can be both fully embraced. Although we may find that we have a tendency to be aligned more with the pole of the renunciate or the hero. And of course, we're all unique individuals. We all have unique gifts. And all of that will also come online the more we free ourselves from the limiting ideas of the self-sense, of the separate self-sense, and we dissolve into this divine communion with the Great One, the Great Mystery that is everything and is animating everything. So I think I'll leave you with that. Until next time. So thank you very much for listening. That's it for today. If you'd like to find out more about my book, The Fire of the Heart, you can go to thefireoftheheart.com, where you can also download 4 free chapters. If you'd like to find out more about the Awaken Life Project, then go to awakenlifeproject.org or our Awaken Life Project Facebook page, where you can find out all about our ashram, extended spiritual community, retreats and other events, and our adventures living off-grid in the mountains of Portugal. So keep on keeping on until next time, and as they say in Portugal, até já.